you know these people.
Yeah.
Oh, he's always screwing up.
Oh, I like this. The Sky Woman.
I don't know about this.
This is from the Iroquois. Fell through a hole in the sky.
Typical.
Onto it.
That would I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Classic Sky Woman. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so I'm going to kick off. We're talking a little bit about Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day.
That's right.
One and the same.
Yep.
Coming to a holiday calendar near you. So I didn't, I always felt uncomfortable with Columbus Day as a kid growing up because I thought it was a little bit shady.
Yeah.
And when you learn more about U.S. history and Native history, it gets even shadier. So I just thought I'd do like just a quick review. So it was a holiday that commemorates the landing of Christopher Columbus in the New World, quote unquote, new to him, on October 12th, 1492. I never knew it was October 12th.
Oh.
That was new. I knew it was 1492. Is what they're giving as the quote-unquote discovery.
Yeah.
But they had the actual day. Sounds shady to me.
Yeah, this was the day.
This was the
day. And, you know, and it's spaced out perfectly between the summer and then, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's
maybe it was actually the 13th and they were, like, unlucky. Change it.
Yeah.
So it was unofficially celebrated as early as the 18th century, and it became a federal holiday in 1937, which I didn't know it was that late. Did you know that? I thought it had been around
1937. I thought it was around much longer than that.
Yeah. So it was initially pushed as a federal holiday by, surprise, surprise, Knights of Columbus, who are a very powerful Catholic organization. I'm not 100% sure what they do.
My grandfather was the grand poobah of the Knights of Columbus way back when. I don't even know what they do.
I was going to say, they promote Italian culture and Catholicism?
Catholicism, right? Like,
okay.
Not Italian.
Not Italian.
Not necessarily Italian, but it's Knights of Columbus is definitely a Catholic organization. And they would, I remember they sponsored a Keep Christ in Christmas campaign every year.
Okay.
And
when you were a kid?
When I was a
kid.
They
were already on this one.
Yes. So there was a drawing contest. You get a big poster board and all the kids submitted their entry.
Did you put Christ on the tree? On the top part? Like, how did you represent Christ in Christmas?
God knows how it did. But I won third prize one year.
Okay.
I think I had some kind of angel flying across.
Shame.
Shame.
5 more years of virginity for you.
Yeah.
Here's your prize. So it says, for many, the holiday is a way of honoring Columbus's achievements and celebrating Italian-American heritage. So this is where the problem comes with me, because I think there are a lot of different ways you could celebrate Italian-American heritage besides this dude who was sponsored by the Spanish to come here and pretty much kick off genocide and start stealing shit.
Everything is here for you, basically.
So I was thinking, like, the first thing I always think of when I'm thinking about, like, celebrating Italian-American heritage is, like, the Feast of San Gennaro, right? Where they have, like, there's a statue that they carry through the streets.
Well,
there's
San Gennaro, which is something different, but there's the Feast of St. Anne in the summer, which is Mary's mother.
Is that an Italian celebration?
That's an Italian celebration.
Okay.
And then they just did,
let's do that.
What you're thinking of is the Madonna of Martyrs.
Okay.
And so they have the Madonna, and they just did this in my town.
You mean like in the past couple of weeks?
Yes, yes.
See, that's why I always think that could be a good replacement for this, but go ahead.
Yeah, so they take the Madonna statue. It's 800 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like it.
Yes, and they...
She's a big girl.
Hoist it up. And not only that, but people, if you have a miracle, something that you're in dire need of, you have the request, but you also have to make a sacrifice. So you take your finest jewelry, whether it be gold rings, watches,
chains. So you tell me you put it on... The statue.
It's all pinned to her robe. So she almost looks like you want to buy a watch, you know, with the whole thing. Just, she's covered
Who
in
gets
bling.
That stuff? Let me, the church.
I imagine. So, because you can't get it back. It's a sacrifice. And you want a miracle so badly that you have to show that you're willing to give up something. And I asked, and this older woman told me, she's like, you're not allowed to buy anything and give it. It has to be something.
That you already have?
That you have and means a lot to you.
Why is it always, I mean, this is very cynical of me, and this is all religions. They always want your gold.
Yeah.
They always, it's not, I mean, could I give like a really important book?
No.
Or
no.
You know what I'm saying? Like they something that, that means a lot to me, which would be, you know, a book or something that my grandmother gave
me. No. They want jewelry. And behind
metal.
Her is,
metal is, what it
is a band, but the band is only drums and tubas. And so you got that old school Godfather sound coming up behind
you. I like that.
Bam.
See, I feel like this is a holiday I could get behind.
Yeah, so that's, and then there's a lot of food.
You're blinging out the Mary. Right?
It's carrying a woman around.
Carrying a woman around who's blinged out. Yes. And then you've got percussion. Well, no, what do you have behind it? Tubas?
The tubas and drums.
Yeah, you got percussion and tubas.
Yeah.
And then is there a march behind that?
Everybody's marching down the street. Mm-hmm. And then there's a festival for a week. And there's food and song and all
kinds of
stuff. Is
anybody like, who put that gold-plated chain up there? That's not real. All right, so origins of Columbus Day, national holiday since 37. We already talked about he was an Italian explorer. He was backed by the Spanish, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, and he was trying to chart a western sea route to China, India, and the Golden Spice Islands of Asia to steal, but he couldn't get there, so he came here and brought with him disease, subjugation, and, you know, and the ability to steal, basically. So one of the first things, so he was here a year. Then after a year, he already had some slaves and took them back. And was like, here's what we can get. Here's the gold that we can get from people. But the first celebration of Columbus Day actually took place in 1792. When New York's Columbian Order, and it says here, better known as Tammany Hall. So already shady.
Yeah.
Held the event to commemorate historic landing's 300th year anniversary. So it was a mix of the fact that he was Italian and that also he was Catholic. So they mixed those two things together, and they tried to cloak it in, you know, we look at the achievements of the four completed centuries of American life, which are, you know, spurious at best at that point. And in 37, the FDR proclaimed it a national holiday, as I said, because of the intense lobbying by the Knights of Columbus. And then originally it was observed on October 12th. But then they fixed it to the second Monday in October of 1971. Because you know in America, we can't have anything interrupt the work week in the middle.
That's right.
So all holidays, no matter how supposedly sacred, have to be moved to Monday. So that we don't miss out on anything.
And God forbid it's a Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Why is it never a Friday?
I don't know. I'm Puritanism? I have no idea.
The last Friday. You know, nothing is the last Friday or the second Friday.
Well, we get the, because of Thanksgiving. You know, it kind of rolls into it. But it's not officially that Friday. The Friday after Thanksgiving is a day off. It's Black Friday.
Yeah.
Which is as close in America as a real religious holiday you can get because there's shopping involved. And no one's going to miss that. But yeah, I would like to have things moved to Friday.
Yes, if I were president, all things need to be moved to all holidays that are like on a Monday or now
And
Fridays.
I'm saying at least one holiday a month. And if any group comes up and is like, we'd like to celebrate this on a Friday, yes.
Yeah, that's
is
the answer.
Every Friday, we could have multiple holidays.
Yeah.
Whoever.
Right.
Doesn't care if you've been here forever, you just got here, we'll celebrate that day. We'll take a Friday off. So, interestingly enough, opposition to Columbus Day started in the 19th century because people were anti-Catholic and anti-Italian. I did not know this. So, there were certain people who wanted to get rid of it right away.
Oh, yeah.
Because they just didn't like Italians and Catholics. Now, there's more of a push against it by people who want to recognize, you know, the struggle of Native Americans and their contributions to this country. In Latin America, it's called the Dia de la Raza. Obviously, they have a different conceptualization of Columbus and what Columbus did if you're in Latin America. And then more recently, in the 90s, it started off in Berkeley, an Indigenous Peoples Day, and then other places picked on it, South Dakota and Hawaii. They don't commemorate it at all. They've apparently either they've never commemorated it or they got rid of it early because of their large Native and Indigenous populations. They're like, yeah, we're not going to do this.
Yeah.
Probably also too lack of Italians. I don't know much about Italian American history. I'm thinking since no one's really in South Dakota, maybe Italians didn't make it there either.
Right.
I know my people not really there.
Right.
I think we're like 0.01%.
Yeah. What is it about South Dakota that people just don't want to stay?
I've been there. It's empty. It's really. It would be really difficult to do anything with the land. Is what it seems like. Maybe some mining. You could extract things. But it's also, the weather is rough. It's kind of barren. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It looks kind of like the moon, the surface of the moon.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's, you know, So that's a little bit. So Indigenous Peoples Day.
Then we should have a moon park. We should open up South Dakota as a moon park.
I think they film a lot of moon and Mars stuff there.
All right.
So, history of the Indigenous Peoples Day, 1977, International Conference on Discrimination Against Indigenous Populations in the Americas, sponsored by the UN, started saying, hey, maybe we should replace Columbus Day. This seems like a really oppressive holiday.
It is an oppressive holiday.
And then in 19, some Native American groups jumped on board with this as well. In 1990, at the first Continental Conference on 500 Years of Indian Resistance, I like that, in Ecuador, representatives of Indian groups throughout the Americas agreed to mark 1992 as the 500th anniversary of the first voyage of Christopher Columbus as a year to promote continental unity and liberation amongst Native and Indigenous people. So I like their take on it. It's like, hey, we're still here. We're still here. After all the things that have happened, we're still here, and we're going to commemorate that. So we're not going to commemorate being conquered. We're going to commemorate the fact that our cultures have survived. They organized protests against a recreation of the sailing of Columbus that they were going to have. I can't even imagine. So they were going to recreate the three ships coming in. This was on the West Coast.
Are you kidding?
And Native people were like, hell no. For me, this would be like a recreation of like first slave ship.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Middle Passage Day.
Or here comes the attack. It's an attack.
Yes. Here comes disease.
Yeah.
Right? And here comes subjugation. So they, because of the commemoration, they were able to thwart it and it started the conversation.
It's like winter is upon us.
Yeah. We're celebrating the Ice King.
Yeah, the Ice King and the undead coming to take over.
So that started the conversation. And then since then, we come up to now where a lot of states and other countries are really reconsidering how to talk about Columbus Day. I like Indigenous Peoples Day. It seems pretty cool to me. I'd definitely be down to celebrate it. So that's what we're talking about today.
Another thing with Christopher Columbus, I mean, this holiday really needs to fall off the map.
Yeah, it's not good. Pick something else.
I found an article where they're talking about, and this person is not holding back, talking about the atrocities that Columbus and his men inflicted upon everyone.
People forget how many people were here before Columbus showed up.
Yeah.
How many different cultures, languages, like the place, it was teeming with life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And that was brought pretty much to a halt.
Yes. So when he first came to America and saw the Native Americans, he greeted them and his crew, and he spoke with a peaceful, admiring tone. And he said, and this is from his diary, "They brought us parrots and bowls of cotton and spears and many other things. They willingly traded everything they owned. They were well built with good bodies and handsome features. They do not bear arms and do not know from. I showed them a sword, and they took it by the edge and cut themselves out of ignorance. They have no iron. Their spears are made of cane. They would make fine servants. With 50 men, we could subjugate them all and make them do whatever we want."
Great. Yeah. So let's celebrate that.
Yeah.
See, my thing is, if you're going to, that's what he said. Those are his words, his thoughts. Why not put that on his statue?
Yeah. And then Columbus gave one of his friends, Michael D. Duqueno.
Michael D.
Yes. So he was talking about how Columbus gave him a gift of a Native female.
Great.
Yes.
And let's put that on the other side of the statue. Celebrate that. Right.
When I was on the boat, I captured a very beautiful woman whom they said the Lord Admiral gave to me, and with whom, having taken her into my cabin, she being naked according to their custom.
Really?
I conceived desire to take pleasure. I wanted to put my desire into execution, but she did not want it and treated me with her fingernails in such a manner I wish I had never begun.
So rape.
Yes. Seeing that, I took a rope and thrashed her well, for which she raised such unheard screams that you would have not believed your ears. Finally, we came to an agreement in such manner that I can tell you she seemed to have been brought up in a school of harlots.
Wow. Well, there you go. Let's celebrate that.
That's good.
Woo-hoo! Columbus Day. Yes.
Yeah.
Great. Nice job. That's what I mean. Why not pick something positive that you want to celebrate about your culture? There's very little positive in this for me.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess because I'm on the losing side of it, or I generally like to side with the people who are not committing genocide, I can't really celebrate this one.
So, it was really genocide.
Yeah.
We're celebrating genocide.
So we're not going to celebrate genocide. We're going to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day. And I wanted to just give a shout out in, and I think I might be able to go to this one. They're having it in Harlem Riverfield and also Randall's Island, October 8th and 9th. It's Rethinking Columbus Day, Indigenous People Celebration in New York City. The picture of these women, I just have to show it to you. They are 100% giving Native style, also they're New Yorkers.
Yeah.
The looks on their faces, like they're wearing whatever their traditional, looks like celebratory garments are, but they look badass.
They're totally
New York style. And in the background is the skyline of New York.
Well, I imagine when these women probably had similar looks on their faces when the first Columbus, the Nina Pinta and the Santa Maria showed up. Are you kidding me?
So they're going to have performances, vendors, music, song, and dance. There's going to be an overnight camp out if you want to. So that's for children, for families, adults, whatever. They're going to have tents and teepees, or you can bring your own tent and teepee, which I think is pretty cool. And they also say bring lawn chairs. There's a sunrise ceremony at 7 in the morning. This is like a Sunday thing, and it goes into Monday as well. So actually on, you know, when other people, I guess, will be celebrating Columbus Day, you could have like a sweet teepee in the park.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this idea. I don't know that much about Native American culture, but I have some friends who have been to powwows.
Okay.
Which I heard are a lot of fun. They're contemporary as well now. So I found this, if I may, top five slang terms you'll hear at a powwow.
Okay.
Just to make sure that because whenever people think about Native Americans, they always think about them in the past. I'm like, let's talk about this today. So here's some slang I found from young, if you want to be a hip, young Native American at a powwow, also called a 49.
What?
I don't know why. I looked it up. It's also called a party.
A party. A 49.
So here's one of the top terms is snag.
Okay.
Snag, it's a verb or a noun. As a verb, it means to search for a date at the powwow.
Okay.
Snag. You could say, she's my snag.
All right.
Or, I'm going snagging.
Okay.
The second one that young people are using at the powwows is the teepee creep. If you fail to snag during the day, you may have to resort to teepee creeping. This is when you bounce from teepee to teepee or from tent to tent looking for a hookup.
What do you stick your head in the flap?
I guess. Hey, what's up? Or you could yell when you stick your head into the flap of the TV or the tent, you could yell Ho-Cha, which is how you hype up the crowd.
Okay.
So Ho-Cha is bellowed by an MC or a drummer to get the powwow started.
All right.
To get it started right.
Well, don't creep into the wrong TV because if people are already getting their thing happening.
I guess. There's a 49 as the after party. Commonly the location of the 49 isn't known until the day of the powwow. So it's not the tip off your parents. So this is like the secret where people go.
Okay.
And the last one was Aya. This is your cue to laugh. Oodles of Indians will end a jest with Aya. So if you weren't there that day before when Uncle Walt did that thing that was really funny, if you hear someone say Aya, that means just laugh knowingly.
Okay.
Afterwards. So if you do find yourself at a powwow, you at least have five things that you can get right.
All right.
I like the teepee creep. I feel like I must have done some version of this as a young person.
We all have.
In my life.
Walking around.
Yes. Wrong room.
Oh, yay.
All right, what do you have?
I have a couple of American Indian myths.
Okay.
The American Indian Great Spirit in some form or name is found in most American Indian beliefs.
Okay. So this is the overall...
Yeah.
Mother or master
yeah,
of the universe.
It is.
Kind of
it's the unknown power, and it's found in everything. And this is the same through this concept is the same throughout all of the tribes.
Okay.
That there's an unknown power that's found in everything: the air, the rock, the sky. It's the Great Spirit, and it's often seen as the great creator of life in the universe. And that creator is aided by other spirits who are in charge of more specific things.
Okay, we got a hierarchy going on here.
Yeah, such as you get stars, someone else gets water and trees.
I'm stuck with rocks. I got nothing. Is Wolf on there?
Well, there's a couple of animals that are on here.
I have a request for wolves, please.
Yeah, well, the coyote was a popular spirit among the Western tribes in the Navajo, Zuni, Sioux, and Chinook.
Oh, what does that stand for, coyote?
Coyote is a sly trickster.
Okay.
He made life more interesting for people.
That's a really judicious way of saying it. Yeah. He made life quite interesting.
Yes, the coyote, this is a funny list of responsibilities for the coyote.
Okay. They don't really go with each other.
Yeah, responsible for sorrow and death, but also for the creation of humans and the Milky Way.
Okay. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, so there are many
I guess he's
got
to come back with something. It's like, I add death, but also the Milky Way.
Yeah, which is nice.
Have a quick look at it before you go.
Yeah. There are many stories of the coyote's mischievous trickery and his contributions to the world.
Okay, of course. I feel like he put those in there himself.
Yeah, so kind of, it's like, hey,
some good,
I'm
some
kind
bad.
Of a jerk, but...
But the Milky Way.
Yeah. The raven. The raven seemed to have his beak and everything, and like the coyote...
Excuse me? This sounds personal. This is written by the coyote.
Yeah, was somewhat wily. I like this. It's like they're not...
They're not perfect.
Yeah, they're not perfect. They're not trying to put them on a pedestal.
So do all of them have what would be like, what we would consider like a positive and a negative, each of them?
We'll find out.
Okay.
Here. Just a couple of them here. The raven could change into a bird, a human, or an animal.
Okay, shape-shifting. Yeah. I like it. But...
And could bring both good and evil.
But he's terrible at parties.
Yeah, and always hungry.
Help.
Always hungry in search of food often got him into a lot of trouble.
Okay. It sounds like you know these people.
Yeah.
Oh, he's always screwing up.
Oh, I like this. The Sky Woman.
I don't know about this.
This is from the Iroquois. Fell through a hole in the sky.
Typical.
Onto it.
I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Classic Sky Woman.
Into a dark, watery earth populated only by animals. And the birds caught her and put her on the back of a giant turtle.
Okay.
And you've seen this, like the turtle is the representation of the land. The turtle grew bigger and became the land. And the whole Sky Woman fell through, brought in light to the world and beginning of the earth as we know it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Sky Woman.
Yeah. Then there's the Kachinas from the Hopi.
Okay.
These are spirits that lived in and controlled everything. The sky, the water, the plants, the animals.
The whole shebang.
Yes. They protected humans and brought them good fortune.
But also.
The Hopi give their children these Kachina dolls to teach them about different spirits.
Oh, I know what the Kachina dolls are. Okay, I get it now. Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, you've seen
them? I've seen them before, yeah.
Okay. I have never.
I love dolls, especially if they are like have some kind of traditional use for them. So I don't like Barbie dolls and that kind of thing. But I like, dolls made from people from different tribes all over the world. And I've seen these Kachina dolls. They're cute, but like all dolls, they're also a little, you know, scary.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
I don't know if I'd have too many in my room at once. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Especially after seeing.
Because you've been to my apartment. I don't know if you've seen them. I have like maybe six or seven. They're like, I think they're Sandinese. No, from Chiapas. They're revolutionary dolls.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, they have masks.
Oh, I don't like
that. And they're armed. They're very cute. But when I put them all together, I was like, oh, I don't know.
You want to keep them away from each
other. Yeah, I want to keep them separate.
Don't let them talk about
things. Yeah, mingle.
Make it plan.
One of them has a horse. I don't know. It's a whole thing.
Oh, I've never seen it. I'll have to look
at it. Yeah, I'll show them. They're on the way in. Most people react because they're like, oh, these dolls are really beautiful. And they pick them up. They're like, this doll has a rifle. I'm like, well, I guess this is a revolutionary doll.
Oh, I'm usually by the bar when I go to your house.
That's Pat. Yeah, you walk right by the dolls to the bar.
There's the Anagan. And the Inuits have this. This is the most important Inuit god, and it's the moon spirit. And he was a hunter, and he chased his sister, the sun, around the North Pole during a brief Arctic summer.
Why?
Probably,
like, really?
Well, if they're brother and sister.
These are
probably,
gods. They're still up to the same old.
You know what? It farts on her head.
Yeah.
As soon as he gets her.
Called her ugly.
How dare you?
Told her she was not the favorite.
Which is interesting because usually the moon is traditionally the female.
Yeah.
And the sun is the male. So they have it backwards.
Okay.
But maybe it's because it's mostly dark. It's dark most of the time.
Oh, I didn't even think about
that. So then they were like, yeah, well, so the that's moon, that's a guy. So the guy gets, it's like more of a patriarchal thing.
Huh.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird. Yeah. Okay. We have to look into that. Moon and sun.
Okay. Then there's the breath maker or the creator.
I like this guy, or the breath maker.
From the Seminoles. He made humans out of clay. He also blew across the heavens and created the Milky Way.
Well, wait, hold on. I thought the other guy created the... Oh, these are two different tribes.
Two different tribes. Okay. Yeah. The coyote and the breath maker are probably the same.
Similar.
But the Seminoles call it the breath maker, and then the Navajo, Sunni, and Sioux, and the Chinook call it the coyote.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Yes. So when a good Seminole died, the Big Dipper became a boat and sailed the soul across the Milky Way to the city in the sky.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And, of course, you can't talk about all these without talking about the Wendigo, which we've talked about on previous shows.
We have talked about the Wendigo in our Tales from Their Campfire segment.
Yeah, the Algonquin, mainly, were into this. It was a huge evil
demon.
That's
local tribe for us.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the Algonquins are, like, just a little bit upstate New York.
Makes sense.
Yeah, Wendigo.
Huge evil demon who wandered the winter woods.
Just say that, huge evil demon.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Right? In search of humans to eat. In sort of a werewolf or vampire way.
Mm-hmm. And sort of, like, exactly.
And, yeah, and if you're bitten by one, you turn into one. So
this is a shapeshift of the Wendigo.
Yeah. So different myths of the...
So I, just to, you know, from classy to ashy, I'm over here. I found on this really awesome site is some Native American humor.
Okay.
This one is, you might be an Indian Jedi if.
Oh.
No, if. Why not? It's contemporary. You know what I mean? So you might be an Indian Jedi if your Jedi robe is beaded.
Oh.
You use your lightsaber to butcher a buffalo or to open a bud.
Yeah. What? Oh, no.
You discover that Ewoks taste like dogs.
Ooh.
I love it. This site was hilarious. The worst part of eating with Yoda is eating his commodity food. So I had to look up commodity food.
They don't get it.
So commodity food is what we in the black community would call welfare cheese.
Oh.
So they call it commodity food. And I looked, and there's a whole program the United States runs that's called commodity food. And it's for low-income people, but also, I think, on reservations. And you can imagine, just like government cheese, the commodity food is, like, the least nutritious.
Okay. Right, so back up and lay us with the joke again.
So the joke is, you might be an Indian Jedi if you think the worst part of eating with Yoda is eating his commodity food.
Okay. So, that's funny now.
Yeah, I had to, you know, get into it. You might be an Indian Jedi if Wookiees are offended by your buffalo robe. You might be an Indian Jedi if you use the Force to negotiate with the federal government.
Yeah.
I know. What is it? You might be an Indian Jedi if you suggest that the Millennium Falcon be outfitted with a trailer hitch.
Oh, that's...
So, once again, I had to look. You have to think about how Native American people have been treated in this country. Mm-hmm. And the last one I thought that was particularly interesting, because there are tons of them. You might be an Indian Jedi if you hear, Luke, I am your father and your councilman.
Oh.
So when I was looking at all these, like, Native American humor and joke, it's like, apparently this councilman is a pain in the ass, whoever this character is. He's like, you know, he's the mayor, basically. But it's not just the mayor. He's also, like, your cultural, like, I know what's going on in this community. I'm going to tell you. So those are my Native American / Jedi jokes.
About the robe being made from buffalo.
Yes.
It's like people being offended by that. And it's like, listen,
the
we Wookiees use
every part of the buffalo.
Animal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I think, I can see, though, if you were a Wookiee, how you might take offense to that, though.
Yeah.
Since you do kind of resemble parts of the buffalo. All right, what do you have?
No, this was a 4 simple ways to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day.
Okay, simple ways. So
really
simple. Don't hurt yourself.
Yeah, this is a good introductory kind of thing for everybody.
101.
So if we want to just edge out of the old traditional Columbus Day.
Before you get into this, how do you celebrate Columbus Day?
It's just a day off from work. That's it. It's a free day off to do.
Is there a parade?
There is a parade. I don't go to it. I go away for the weekend or something.
Yeah, I've never, when we were kids, we were forced to, you know, act it out. The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, it just kind of, I think we saved it all up for all the lies that happened around Thanksgiving.
Yes, it right? all kind of.
Like, it rolls, it just becomes like, you know, Discovery Season. So it just kicks off with, you know, the New World Discovery and the genocide of Columbus Day, and it just rolls right into all the mythology around
Yeah, Thanksgiving. It teaches us to be thankful for the genocide. Yes. So we have what we have
today. We have what we have today, yeah.
It's like you like everything and you're grateful for it.
Well, Nina Pinto and Santa Maria. Yeah. Without that,
yeah.
Someone else
yeah,
might have
we all, yeah, we all had to do this. Yeah, so, Nina Pinto, yeah, that was in school we did that. But as an adult, no, you don't,
no, you don't do anything. That's what I'm saying when people are getting upset that, oh, people aren't going to celebrate Columbus Day anymore. It's like, well, I have been asking people who might have some connection to it, and they don't do anything. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I don't know if we would notice.
It was...
There's sales.
There's a floating holiday, typically in corporate America. You can either have Martin Luther King Day or Columbus Day.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I know which one I'm going with. It actually, it depends on... I don't know. So, should we gather somewhere? It depends on what I want to do. So, like, if I have a little extra money around this time and I'm not doing anything for Thanksgiving, yeah, maybe I'll go somewhere for Columbus Day, but ordinarily, no.
Yeah. With me, it usually kicked off, the way I used to work, it was really heavy all the way from January through September.
Mm-hmm.
And when October came around, it was like, okay, it's time to start.
Time to slow down.
Wind down a little bit.
Yeah. All right, cool. So how can we simply...
So we can celebrate this in a simple way. First in the morning, rejoice. Listen to the song offered by the Kichwa children.
Oh, okay.
So listen to a song.
Okay. I like it.
Great. And rejoice. So you can pick any kind of song, I would imagine.
Yeah. And and just celebrate the day, basically.
Then you have lunch dessert. After your meal, indulge in this.
Is it fried bread? Everywhere, every Native American thing I read, they were making jokes about fry bread. People talking about fry bread. Apparently, it's just like a staple.
So have a dessert at lunch. Afternoon snack. After a break,
really?
Take a break and watch a trailer of the National Geographic awarded documentary Children of the Jaguar about the struggles of the indigenous rights in the Amazon.
Wow, okay. Yeah. So this is getting global.
Yeah. Evening reflection. View a TED Talk about this Hawaiian anthropologist.
No, I will not view a TED Talk. I don't care. I don't care if it's Christian Bale and Jeff Goldblum rolled up into one. I'm not watching a TED Talk. I don't give an F.
And then they say a little prayer to offer that the Sioux used to say about all life. And it was just a little prayer.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
That's nice. I like that. Yeah. So I feel like to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day, you can really just do things. You can go out and do things in the community, or you could just take a moment to observe, I don't know, the beauty of life, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think that this is something that we are going to put together now.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's just going to be new. It's not something that we're resurrecting. It's something we're building.
I like this idea of creating a modern holiday because we can strip out all the nasty stuff that are the other. So we can not have it be about genocide. We can not have it about some horrible thing that has happened. Mm-hmm. We can have it about celebrating the spirit of something now.
Yes.
It's kind of interesting.
And of people.
And like, so maybe we won't have any militaristic parades. Mm-hmm. Maybe there won't be a sale. Although this is America, and I tell you, 10 years from now, we're going to be like, girl, I can't even tell you what I got on sale for Indigenous Peoples Day. Like, you wouldn't believe. Leather was on sale. Like, I don't know, you know, whatever. Gems are on sale. So I have some more humor that I dug up from another site. This is Indian Thoughts on chickens crossing the road. I had to look some of these up because sometimes in order to get jokes that are specific to a community, if you're not a part of that community, you have to do a little bit of research. So these are, why did the chicken cross the road? Here are some Indian perspectives from some different types of Native Americans in the United States. Okay. So not different tribes, but different mindsets. So why did the chicken cross the road? The sovereign Indian says, this is the chicken's inherent right as he is indigenous to the land. Why did the chicken cross the road? The militant Indian says, the chicken should block the road, not cross it. The colonized Indian says, chicken should never cross the road that white man built before the great white father crosses it. If the white father crosses it, it's good. We must then follow.
Oh, boy.
Yes, I love it. The Americanized Indian said, we must have roads. We must cross the roads that the white man has built. We should be thankful. If you don't know why, I don't know why you Indians are always complaining. You embarrass us. And by the way, chickens are good.
Oh, wow.
The Republican Indian.
Oof.
It's true that the white man built those roads for us. We're merely chickens. We will always be chickens until we learn to build roads for ourselves for profit. Democratic Indian. The chicken crossed the road because he didn't have enough funding.
That's funny.
Urban Indian. And this is most of the Native Americans who I've ever met have been New Yorkers. So that is my perspective. Mm-hmm. That chicken crossed the road because it was a city, man. You know what I mean? The powwow Indian. That chicken must have been heading to a 49 being the party. And this kind of sad, the reservation Indian. What's a chicken?
Aww.
I know, because of commodity food, right? This is like an authoritative Indian who's into government. They crossed it because of the CFR 49 section 11299 gives them authority to do so under the Department of Interior Regulations, the executive branch. They wrote a grant. We funded it. We're very proud of these chickens.
Oh, God.
And then the last one.
I like this, it really gives you insight.
Some insight, yeah. Because that's where the humor is where you get. So the last one I thought was interesting, the Tribal Indian Council. The Indian crossed the road before we did, fire his family.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so I started doing some research into why they say these different things. It was quite interesting. As an African-American, a lot of the stuff that I was reading, I was like, yeah, this resonates with me.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
I get it. You know, it was pretty funny.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I have a little bit about the Two-Spirit people of the indigenous North Americans.
This is fascinating to me. I saw a play years ago about Two-Spirit.
Yes.
So are you? I hope you can explain it in a way that I can understand it, because I was confused.
All right. So the Native Americans have often held intersex, androgynous people, feminine males and masculine females in high respect.
Is this the Berdash?
The most common term to define such a person today is to refer to them as Two-Spirit people.
Okay. So this is a person who is both genders or fluid, has a fluidity of gender?
There is a fluidity, yes.
Okay.
Let's see. But in the past, feminine males were sometimes referred to as the Berdash.
Oh, yeah, the Berdash. I learned about
that. By the early French explorers who adapted this word meaning intimate male friend.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the French's take on it, right?
Yes, because these androgynous males were commonly married to masculine men.
They're like, you look good, boy.
Yeah.
You look good.
Yes, yes.
Bonjour.
Yes.
May we?
They were androgynous males married to masculine men and had sex with men and other masculine females. Oh, sorry.
Oh.
No. So
what? Okay.
It's a they, period. And the masculine females had feminine women as wives. So it's it means like
the masculine females had feminine. Oh, these are just gay people.
Gay people.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just they were. So there's.
I'm like, sorry to ruin it, distill it down to that. That was my. That's
yeah,
my.
So
that's
what
cheap understanding
was going
of it.
On. But when the English colonists got there, they condemned them as sodomites.
What? What's wrong with the little butch femme action? Come on.
Yeah.
Why? I don't understand. It would never occur to me to show up and see people having a good time and be like, "I'm shutting this piece down."
Yeah.
You guys are having satisfying sex. It's got to stop.
Yeah. How did they get in there to, like, see what was going on? And
I don't,
like, what?
Maybe people are there holding hands in the marketplace and they're like, "That's it." Sodomites.
Rather than emphasizing homosexuality of these persons, however, many Native Americans focused on their spiritual gifts.
Okay.
That's what the focus was.
Well, yeah, because they were doing things for the community. Who cares who they're sleeping with?
Yeah, so they say that a person's basic characteristics, basic character is a reflection of their spirit. So since everything that exists is thought to come from the spirit world, androgynous and transgender persons are seen as doubly blessed.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Having both the spirit of a man and the spirit of a woman. Thus, they're honored for having two spirits, and they are seen as more spiritually gifted than the typical masculine male or feminine female.
Sounds like it. They got two for the price of one.
Yeah. And they have, experience the world in a way.
That the people with one spirit cannot.
Yes. So rather than stigmatizing such people, they're often religious leaders and teachers.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a lot of responsibility.
Yes.
What if you're a two-spirit, but you're like a little kind of lazy, and you're like, man, I just want to live with my butch partner.
No, you got work to do. That's it. It's part of your
thing.
I don't
want to lead anything, you know.
Yeah. Instead of seeing a two-spirit person as transsexual who try to make themselves into the opposite sex, it is more accurate to understand them as individuals who take on a gender status that's different from both men and women. It's a third alternative
gender. Yeah, what's wrong
with
that? That seems like an easy thing to understand, right?
Yeah. So there is that status often offers more of a range of possibilities, from a slightly effeminate male to masculine females, mm-hmm. to an androgynous or transgender persons.
So it could be anybody.
It could be anybody. And then you get this whole spectrum under this whole particular thing.
Okay. See, this is the part that I didn't fully understand before when I saw the play about it. I mean, the play wasn't that great.
Hey, you know it is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
Okay. You know, it's not their fault. It wasn't that the play was trying to explain what Two-Spirit was. There was a character that was Two-Spirit, but I was having a hard time understanding what was going on because the play was convoluted, but whatever.
Most of the evidence for a respectful Two-Spirit tradition is focused on the native people of the plains and the Great Lakes in the Southwest and California. Some documentaries on this suggest that there's just a minority of some of the societies treating Two-Spirited people a little bit disrespectfully. By kidding them
some.
Or discouraging the children from taking on this Two-Spirit role. So that also happened too, but generally Two Spirits were very much respected, much like anybody right now who is condemned or put down in society.
Yeah.
Usually those people were the ones that were considered to be a little more.
Of course, you got to keep them down.
Yeah.
Right. That other people feel the single spirit people feel threatened by this. Instead of being like, okay, this is great. You have a lot of things going on. How can we enhance this?
Yeah.
It's like, no, stamp it out.
They were considered to be hard workers, artistically gifted, and of great value to their extended families and community.
The artistic thing seems to be something that follows people who are outside of the gender binary throughout, like, because we have that stereotype in the U.S. as well, that people who are gay are artistic.
But it's also, think about this, people who have a mixture of both feminine and masculine traits can do both work of men and women.
Sounds right to me.
Yeah.
Isn't that one of the problems that we have in our culture, though?
Yeah.
Is like assigning, like, you know, you're a woman, so then teaching and nursing and this kind of stuff. But if you're a butch woman, then it's like, what, and then doctors?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, do whatever you want.
Yeah. Among some groups, such as the Navajo, the family believed that the androgynous person is a big gift to the family. That person assisted their siblings' children and took care of elderly relatives and often served as adoptive parents for homeless children.
Huh. So the androgynous person has to take on more of the traditionally female work?
Male work. Yeah,
okay.
A feminine male who prefers to do women's work, gathering wild plants or farming domestic plants.
I say have at it, because that's not me.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to gather a plant.
Was logically expected to marry a masculine man who did the men's work, the hunting or the
warfare. Okay, because I guess
warfare.
You can't have two, like, people gathering flowers.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to hunt.
Because, no, the family needed both.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not everybody could just be, you know, hunting all the time. You also need some vegetables and some baskets.
And the masculine female hunter, in turn, usually married a feminine female. Providing those complementary gender roles for economic survival.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. They didn't see themselves as homosexual or anything other than normal. Everything was normal.
This
was all normal.
I mean, I'm all for that. I hope we're moving in that direction now. I kind of subtly see that the younger generation, millennials, but the even younger, they're like, gender, what are you making a big deal about this for?
Yeah.
It would be like when we were younger and people were like, oh, gay. I'm like, who cares, man? Let's move on. We got other problems, like the, you know, nuclear wars, the 80s.
Right. Yes, that's
real
right.
Issues.
Gay was like, okay, we have to now, like, address.
But for us, I just remember thinking older people were really like hung up on it. We're like, can we just move on past this? We have video games now to worry about.
So everybody was hunky-dory with all of this until the 20th century with the homophobic European Christian influences.
Why? Again, yeah. People are doing their own thing. It's working. Leave them alone.
Yeah, two-spirit people were often a force, either by government officials, Christian missionaries, or their own community to conform to these standard gender roles.
Boo.
Yes. And some who could not conform either went underground or committed suicide. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yes.
I never understand these things. I don't. So it's this, the lifestyle choices. And the general thing, but also like how people dress. I feel like that was when the colonial people came here. They're like, we got to shut all this down. Mm-hmm. We want everyone to be as uncomfortable,
miserable
as we are with bad sex. This is why we're. I mean, maybe that's why they were trying to destroy everything.
It's
they
that
were angry.
Attitude. It's that attitude.
I don't get it.
It is that is what it's dividing our country now. It's that attitude. Nobody else can have anything. Yeah. I need to be on top.
I need to be on top, and you have to do things exactly how I do it, even though I'm not happy.
Yeah.
And this isn't really working for me.
Yeah.
Or my family, but everyone's got to do it.
Or you're on the side of progress, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
Everybody do whatever they...
Do whatever you want.
You know, be educated. Dress however. Love whoever.
And try not to be an asshole.
And that's what's separating us now. It's that attitude, and it's neighbor against neighbor.
Yeah.
It's not even state against state or... male, female, color, it's progress versus this.
Yeah, progress versus this kind of stuff. So Indigenous Peoples Day v. Columbus Day.
Yeah.
You can choose whatever one you want. It's a free country.
Yeah.
I think I know which one we're going to be celebrating. And yeah, I enjoyed doing the research for this. I didn't know that much about Native American culture other than things in the past. I particularly enjoyed the jokes.
Yeah, okay.
And the contemporary stuff that I read.
One of these other things I found out is, you know, the avocado, that it's a Native American word, but it means testicle.
Are you serious? Yeah, like as a slang or like as a...
That's the word. No, that's just the word.
Really? Can I get avocado on this? No problem. No problem. Avocado, huh? Yeah, why not, I guess.
And barbecue is a word that means framework of sticks.
Really?
Yeah.
I always wondered where that came from.
Yeah.
So there's we're probably spelling it wrong and everything.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of words that we use today that are from...
Hit me with a couple more.
Okay. Let's see. The caribou means snow shoveler. Chipmunk.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds like a slur.
I know.
All right, you snow shoveler.
Chipmunk means red squirrel.
Okay. Really?
Yes, the moccasin, moose, muskrat, and possum.
Those are what they mean today.
Possum means white dog.
Huh.
Papoose means baby.
Yeah.
We all know that.
Yeah, they let us know that when you were a kid.
The pecan. It means nut.
The pecan.
The pecan. And the powwow, like you were talking about, means to dream or to have a vision.
Yeah, because at the powwow, that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's supposed to be, conceptualize it as a party, but it actually, that's the function, is to kind of do this kind of a group dream.
Right.
Which I think is cool.
The skunk means to urinate.
Really?
Yeah.
I gotta take a skunk.
Yeah.
I got a skunk right now.
Yeah.
I like that. Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.